Just talking about David Gittleson.
After becoming more aware of what David was doing and the feelings of IVS people that I had respect for, I felt that it could have gone either way. Either side could have been responsible. But I've leaned more towards the Saigon side than the Viet Cong side. It's been my experience that most Viet Cong activities had a strong purpose and some planning, and they didn't make a lot of faux pas in that regard. I think they would have only hurt their cause to terminate David Gittleson.
Well, it raises an issue that since you've had some other experience, I'm working on the theory that since the Vietnam War, the greatest threat that aid workers face is actually not from rebels, but actually from the governments that they're serving. Because the governments have an interest in not seeing these kinds of projects succeed, because very often they're serving out groups, or you know what I'm trying.
Absolutely.
I don't want to spell it all. Yeah. Because then the only thing we have on my tape is you saying absolutely.
Yeah.
But East Timor comes to mind, for example.
Working with the Montagnard was, I had little inkling that the Saigon government wanted the Montagnard to succeed. But that some of that was just cultural tradition, and some of it was government oriented. I can sympathize with your feelings in that regard, because you go out to develop, you go out to encourage, and those folks want to change things then. And sometimes incumbent governments don't want changes like that.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. Are you in contact much with other IBS volunteers? There are not a lot in Arizona.
No, I can't. I read the newsletter and I send in my dues and I check the website once in a while. Maybe because I'm a long ways from Harper's Ferry, and I haven't had much contact. Peter Stille up in Flagstaff is probably the most recent, and that's been maybe 3 years now since I last talked to Peter. I did look through the alumni directory the other day, and there were names on there that said they were missing that I'd sure like to find again. Marc Caillé, the French-Canadian that was captured in Hue, spent time in Dalat in language training, and I got to know him rather well because we were both agriculturalists and actually grew up only a couple hundred miles distance, from upstate New York, where I grew up in Quebec. But when I was recruiting, doing campus recruiting in Washington, and of course he was in captivity, but no one knew where or if in fact he was alive. About every 2 months there would be a letter from his French-Canadian fiancée on my desk that IVS Washington would say, would you give her a call and write her a letter? Of course, her French and my English didn't often survive each other, but those were tough phone calls. I think I only made two of them. We didn't know anything. That was the year after.
Well, I have this problem. I was interviewing an IVSer in California, and we finished the interview. It went on for, I think almost 3 hours. And he said, well, we've just started to touch the surface here. And aren't you going to ask me these other questions? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, maybe next time. Is there something I haven't asked you that you thought maybe I would or should?
No. I probably had a generally good experience with IVS in Vietnam, despite the conflict that was going on. my experience, my feelings and memories are fairly positive. I mean, I have some losses of people that I knew, and memories that were not pleasant, especially during the Tet Offensive and and after. And I lost my brother-in-law a year later, that Marine Corps helicopter pilot I was talking about.
Has your sister remarried?
She has. She has. I have. She said she would never marry another pilot. Well, I was working in Costa Rica, and she called me up and said, "I'm getting married. Can you come?" And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Who is this guy?" And she said, "Oh, he's a Navy fighter pilot." The war was over by then, and, and he's since retired from military service and works for Boeing, developing the Joint Strike Fighter up in Seattle. My best man at my wedding was a fraternity brother who was a Marine Corps company commander up in I Corps. And once I knew that I was leaving Vietnam and that I was going to be doing campus recruiting back in the States, IBS said, "Why don't you take a month or whatever you want and travel around Vietnam and visit the different team members that are still here and go over to Laos and talk to those folks, and so you have a feel for what's going on in other parts of the country other than the Central Highlands." And I was able to visit the fraternity brother up on the DMZ. I rode in on a helicopter with Charlie Robb,
son-in-law of the president.
For the president. Of course, and I was in civilian attire, and everyone thought that I was something other than what I was, and was treated rather royally up on Hill 55 by the Marine Corps, and had spent about 5 days with fraternity brother, who eventually was my best man, and learned a bit about the big war, the big unit war. And not the 2 and 3 man ambush that we were accustomed to down in the Highlands.
Well, there are many wars. I mean, it's like World War I more than anything else when you think about it. Sometimes in parts of I grew up with the DMZ.
Exactly.
Yeah, just, well, you always ask people, what year were you there? Where were you? Yeah. You know, and what did you do? All that difference. I had a good question coming up, but I think we've covered a lot of ground. And when you get back your transcript, if you see something that you wish you added, you wanted to add, just write it right on the transcript. Just say, you know, thinking about this since we talked, because there's always more ground to cover. There are more interesting things, and we'll see.
But there's when I knew you were coming, I went and pulled out some old stuff that was in the files. And instant amongst the annual reports of IBS, I found 6 monthly reports that I had written while I was at the Don Paul Training Center, Montagnard Training Center. And I thought those might be of interest.
Oh, they are.
To have.
Yeah.
I photocopied them, and I'm not sure why I have them.
Uh-huh.
One of them has Don Wadley's name on the top of it, and he was the provincial aid advisor that we'd already talked about.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They're all about one page, and they just kind of summarize what I did that month previously.
Well, oddly enough, the only thing I haven't asked you is what was a typical day like, because I think we kind of covered that when you talked about, you know, what your duties were. But that will fill in very nicely.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Those were things I thought might be of interest.
Great. Well, I will take those with me.
All right.
I thank you very much. Talking to Wayne Pulver. This is Mark Gilbert on March 29th, 2001. Thank you and good evening. And of course, I just realized while we were talking about campus, when you did the campus recruitment, it seemed that a lot of IVS volunteers or people who volunteered for IVS after 66, it seemed that many were trying to find an opportunity to get to Vietnam and find out about the war.
Yes,
you know,
that was,
without having, yeah, having to.
I think there were two extremes. There were those who wanted to go so they could participate in the war. Mm-hmm. By that I mean, I don't know whether they couldn't make it to the military or couldn't volunteer. What? And then there were those who wanted it for their own agenda to expose the war. Mm-hmm. And I never had a problem in either case that I know of deciphering that. I was looking for the guy that had the same experience I did growing up on the farm who could impart some knowledge to these folks that might help their lives a little bit. And but there were two extremes, and the recruiting effort had to be much more in the middle. IVS Washington never pointed me towards either extreme or said, don't talk to these people or don't talk to those people. Mm-hmm. They pretty much left it up to me to do my thing, and the only direction they gave me was, we've set up 3 or 4 days for you at Michigan State, or a couple mm-hmm. days at University of Arkansas, or whatever, and I made the arrangements after that, visiting faculty. I had more success doing recruiting via faculty usually than setting up a booth on the student union.
What kind of faculty would you make?
My personal preference was those in the land-grant colleges, the agriculture faculty.
Right.
People like my academic advisor who said, yeah, you could do a lot by going abroad and spending a couple of years in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you is that had someone come to UCLA when I was there, that's exactly what I wanted to do then. Being of pacifist bent and wanting to go to Vietnam very badly, but not wanting to.
I had an assignment at USC, and that was to do a. Let's see, I was all of 24, and the young lady, and I can't remember her name. I remember what she looked like because she was the sister of Miss California, mm-hmm. and it was one of those second interviews. Should last for about 2 hours. I think I was able to stretch it into most of the day as I gone took her to lunch besides. that was a very pleasant experience. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
My pleasure.
That's right.